There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Nuance Needed podcast. Before we dive into this episode, this is part two of our two-part series on people-pleasing. So go back to the episode that was released yesterday in order to fully understand where we're coming from because we stopped this in the middle of the conversation. And as always, we appreciate your support so much. If you could do us a huge favor and share the show with someone that you think would really love it. We know that nuance is not the most popular subject all the time, and that is why we really are relying on listener support to be able to keep the show going. Thanks so much, and let's get into the episode.
Something else that I noticed as well is in the people pleaser category is the like over apologizing.
Yeah.
And saying sorry for everything. And the reason that sticks out for me is because that was something that I did. I can remember, like, there's this one moment that really sticks out to me. I probably would have been, I was eight. And so Alex, my brother, would have been like 5 and a half, right around there. He would like, we lived in a cul-de-sac at the time. And sometimes he would like run across to the other house. And one time he was, I was outside, and this can kind of be seen as problematic, but we've dealt with it. My dad was outside working and I had come out to play, but then he put me in charge of watching Alex.
Okay.
And so he was like cutting the lawn or something. I don't know. And I had stopped to do something with my little friend who was like next door neighbor, and Alex had gone across the street. And he was trying to like knock on the person's door. And I like panicked. And I ran over and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm sorry he knocked on your door. I'm sorry. And I remember the neighbor. I don't even remember the neighbor's name. I don't remember who this was, but I can see their face. And they were like, they literally grabbed me and they said, why are you saying sorry? And they were an adult. Right. And I was like, I'm sorry. And they're like, stop apologizing. Now, this is probably a bit of an aggressive take for an adult to about an eight-year-old. Like, that's
– yeah.
But whatever. Sorry I was annoying them. But like
– don't say don't sorry, say Sam.
Sorry. I was like – but anyway, that moment sticks out to me because when I, you know, shoot forward two decades and I start – like kind of really unwinding some of this work from being a kid, I would look back and like when my friends would come over, all I would do is like say sorry. I'm sorry you did that. When we were out in public, I'm sorry. And what I realized was I knew some of the behaviors that he had were not – they just weren't normal.
Yeah.
They weren't socially appropriate. They weren't okay.
Yeah.
And so what I would do is like before anything like would even happen, I would be like apologizing to lay the groundwork to like protect him, but then protect the people that were being like quote unquote exposed to him.
Yeah.
And it was like so confusing to start unwinding from that because I, for me, what I learned was that I had realized it wasn't a guarantee that we would be accepted.
Yeah.
Because there are people that are like mean to him.
Yeah.
It's not very often.
Yeah.
But there are people that are not accepting. I don't have to apologize for who my brother is if he has not intentionally caused harm.
Yeah.
And so I bring up this apology thing because I had to do a lot of work around like, oh, I don't have to apologize for my existence.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to apologize because I have a need. I don't have to apologize because I've made a request of someone or I've asked something or even sometimes like making a mistake. Yeah. Like, I've had times where like I've, you know, missed something at work or something went wrong and I was just like, oh my gosh, thanks so much for catching that. Like, having that approach helped me kind of like work through, oh, like, there are times where you really have to say sorry. You say something stupid to someone, you get in a fight, you disagree, and words are shared, or like you actually literally cause someone harm and someone comes to you and says, you doing this caused me harm in some way.
Yeah.
Right. Then, okay, yes, I'm so sorry. I will do better. I accept that you will be uncomfortable with me for some time, and that's okay. And it was really empowering to recognize that I didn't have to own this all the time and just be so apologetic for my, you know, taking up air on earth.
Yeah.
I know I share that kind of like long-winded story because I know there's so many women that feel obligated to say sorry all the time and they apologize for things and I didn't mean that. And it's like, just, you don't have to apologize because you exist.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's a really important, and I think that is sort of a tangible thing people can do, is notice how much you say you're sorry and start practicing not saying it, and notice how uncomfortable it is when you don't say you're sorry and things like that. And I'm sure people can also relate in terms of, you know, having kids and feeling like, you know, it's something I definitely struggle with the toddler, of like being upset about taking up space and struggling with that. And, you know, I think that a lot of us do feel like we're not allowed to take up space, or we're not allowed to say no. Practice saying no.
Yep.
You know, however many times a week, 5 times a week, whatever. And like, let's talk about how uncomfortable that is for you and what it's like, because there are certain skills, especially communication skills, you're going to have to learn to be able to break out of people pleasing.
And really what we're talking about is like self-advocacy.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you are learning how to express what you need, that is advocating for yourself. And those skills at first feel so aggressive.
Yeah.
Like, assertiveness will feel like aggression when you are used to people pleasing.
Woo!
Let me say that again. Assertiveness will feel like aggression when you are used to people pleasing.
Yep.
When you are used to thinking that you have this identity as like the soother and the peacemaker and the caretaker. To be assertive in that way where you just say, no, that doesn't work for me. No, I can't do that. Not apologizing for something.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, God, I'm being so rude.
Yeah.
When really you're just now operating as a stable, like an emotionally stable human being.
Yeah. I think people also have, especially if you've been a people pleaser for a long time, you almost have this very skewed perception of what relationships are like.
Oof.
Because you're so used to not getting into disagreements with people, you know, bending over backwards, saying you're sorry, not taking up space. You don't even have the frame of reference of sort of realizing that humans are humans. We all get annoyed at each other. We get mad. The closer we are to someone, the more there's going to be conflict a lot of times. So it really then becomes about how to actually work through conflict rather than stopping being yourself, which is a lot of what we do when we're a people pleaser. We just shrink ourselves so that we never engage with conflict. But then when we start actually saying no, it feels like we're going to hit conflict. And sometimes we actually do hit a lot of conflict because people have seen us in this certain way of you're so agreeable. You never care where we go out to eat. You're always available to do things for me. this is new. This is a change. Mm-hmm. And I think that is really hard. And it's almost like you can stay stuck in the people-pleasing role because everyone treats you
the same
in that role. And you have to sometimes, when you're setting these boundaries, I recommend sort of acknowledging and saying, hey, I know that I'm like, you're used to me just saying yes to everything. I've actually been realizing that that doesn't work for me. And these certain things that are fine for me don't. And I need to say no. And I'm sorry if this is uncomfortable for you, but I'm working on being more honest.
I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Yeah.
What was that process like for you? Because I would imagine like with you struggling so much with kind of like betraying people in like all these little weird ways, did you find you had to rebuild that within you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it was why – it's why I'm so into like integrity and like a bit of what I talked about with the perfectionism episode of I really had to be like, I will mess up. I will make mistakes. So instead, I just have to like commit to getting right with people when I make mistakes.
So you really had to work on like the repair piece.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I mean, a lot of these people, like I said, like I'm no longer in touch with because I graduated college and I didn't figure this out until a few years later. But yeah, I would say the repair piece was a huge thing for me. I was in a 12-step program. I made amends to people.
Yeah.
I was very scared of that, but it was a really incredible experience in terms of it really sort of exposed me to how do you tell someone, you know, the harm you've caused and like live to tell the tale. Like,
were people accepting of that? Did you have anybody who wasn't?
I did. I had a couple people. Part of the process, I mean, everyone who's in a 12-step program sort of does it differently depending on, you know, your sponsor and life and all sorts of things. And some people have really rigid rules about, are you allowed to tell someone on the phone or does it have to be in person?
Does it have to be in person?
Which I kind of roll my eyes at because I'm just like, if you have to tell everyone in person, you're going to make very few amends. How many people are you really seeing on a day-to-day basis? This was written in the 50s. But anyway. But yeah, I mean, I definitely had people who – one of the really interesting amends I did was I stole when I was in my addiction. Like would steal food a lot of times. I stole food from Wawa. I stole food from Acme.
Oh my goodness.
I like shopped Lyft at like Lord and Taylor. So part of what you are told to do is you go and you tell them and you sort of ask if there's anything you can do. Most people were very nice about it, mostly because it's like associate people.
They're like, who are like,
I don't care. Like, this wasn't even at our Wawa, you know?
You just picked a Wawa. You're like, I stole it.
That's what I had to do. So I was like, my addiction was in Virginia. I'm not going to drive to Virginia to the specific Wawa. So a lot of them were just like, buy a coffee and don't get the coffee. Like, that was what some of them told me to do.
That's kind of like thoughtful in its own way, like helping you like problem solve.
Yes. Yeah, they were. And like the Lord and Taylor lady was so nice to me and was just like, it's all right, honey. Like, I'm so proud that you're in recovery. And like, she was so wonderful. The Acme manager was really mean to me, but there was like nothing they could do because like they don't have evidence of me doing anything. And did they
try to like shame you?
Like, yeah, they were just like mean and they were just like, that's really not okay and blah blah blah. And you know, it was like I was like, you know, 24 and scared, but I also knew there was like nothing they could really do.
Yeah,
it's not like what are you gonna like send me to jail for telling you that I like stole $100 worth of food at a different location 3 years ago. Like, there's not a lot, but it was like very empowering reaching out to people who I did wrong and say I wronged them. And, you know, some people wanted to hear from me, some people did not. I did have a couple of people that wrote like me sort of like nasty responses back and were just like, I want nothing to do with you. And it was like sitting in like, these people will probably not like me for forever. And this is a consequence of my actions.
Yeah.
But there's also something in 12-step programs where it's called living amends, where you sort of recognize that you can't always repair something. So all you can do moving forward is be a better person and, you know, do things like that. Like, especially if you've really hurt people. And that I think is a really powerful framework for living life is if all of us, when we make mistakes, can sort of be in this process of we can never fix things that we mess up, but we can repair and we can promise to do better. And it dramatically helped with my self-esteem because I had such low self-esteem. And then being able to be like, I can face this. I am sort of, I can do anything in this sense. And I can actually really tolerate people not liking me. It gave me so much confidence. And I, that is one thing I really want people to know is when you are confining yourself to, you know, whether you're being a chameleon and you are afraid to say no and you're afraid to stand up for yourself, you create this environment where you don't feel good about yourself because you think that people only like you because of what you provide for them. Right? Or they only like you because you have made yourself a certain way, like liking the same stuff as them.
Right.
That isn't actually true. And that makes you extremely insecure.
Yeah.
Where if you actually step into this is who I am, this is what I like, this is what I'm about, this is what my values are, there is so much confidence there in actually allowing people to know you. And I think a lot of times people who struggle with people pleasing are often very insecure.
Yeah. They're terrified of being accepted.
Yeah.
And I think part of why we're kind of sharing these more like personal anecdotes is because we want to show like, if you learned people pleasing, it's just because you learned people pleasing.
Yeah.
And your job is to find out what your why is in order to figure out what it is that you need to heal and how you want to change it. Like, because it's exactly as you said, like if you are struggling with this like really deep sense of insecurity and this feeling like you're never going to belong, it's devastating to realize that you have believed the only way you could belong is to betray yourself.
Yes.
Like that's heartbreaking.
And
I can say that's heartbreaking because I think that's kind of what I realized.
Yeah.
Right? Like I had – there was only one way I could be in order for people to like me.
Yeah.
And, you know, to go back to what you said about agreeable, like I am like – I'm actually a pretty agreeable person.
You are.
I try really hard, but like I'll defend and advocate for myself. But I think it's okay to say that sometimes like things aren't a big deal.
Yes.
Like, I think that's an okay process too, that you can, as you like go through this journey, if this is like a healing journey that you're going on, you can realize that you like are a laid back person. But I have like an internal checklight system to make sure like, does this really not matter to me?
Yeah.
Or like, do I need to say something? Or do I need to give something a little more time? Right? Like to kind of see, is this a repeated behavior from someone? Or is this like, is this something that bugs me the second time around when it's in a different situation?
Hi, everyone. If you're listening to me and Sam talk about people pleasing and realizing I could really use some support with this, or maybe you have a daughter who is in her teens or in her 20s, and you're realizing that she probably could use some support with this, I would love for you to check out our website, therapyforwomencenter.com. We serve 42 states online, and we have 3 in-person office locations in the Philadelphia area. We're coming soon to Collingswood, New Jersey, and we will also be coming soon to Florida. So check us out, and thanks for listening.
Or maybe like there's things that you realize in your relationship that maybe you've like talked up in your mind are a big deal, but actually you don't care about them. Like you truly don't, but you're wasting energy on trying to force yourself into caring about those things.
Yeah. Like, especially if you see on social media that people are really bothered by certain things.
Yeah.
Like think about in relationships, right? People talk about like their partner does this or that and not like – there are certain things like my husband does that I think would really bother a lot of people, and I don't care. But I also do really bothersome things too. Like I am very controlling over the TV. And I like won't watch TV that I don't want to watch. I will go read a book by myself instead. And he truly doesn't care what we watch. So why would we fight about that?
As a single person, the TV thing is like really funny to me because I'm also like, I'll get like the algorithm will really try to hurt my feelings and feed me content about like, here's happy couples. Did you know that they're out there? Oh yeah. No. I'll get it like all the time. And I'm like, well, but no, like the TV one, like girls will be like, or women will say, like, why is it that every time we watch a show, like it has to be war or politics or something like that? And I'm like,
those are Sam's jam.
I actually would be really happy to do that. Like,
you and Mike can watch action movies together.
I'm like, wow, that'd be really cool. But yeah, but then that's something that I had to like come to terms with myself.
Yeah.
Like I would, like as a teenager, like I would kind of people please and like assume that there were like certain shows that I had to watch or things that I had to like, or like I was really afraid to like open up about how like nerdy my interests really were because I was like, oh, nobody will like me. And like, cause that's not normal. That's not like what teen girls are into. They don't like to read books about the Holocaust. Like that's not normal.
It's unusual.
It is.
But it's normal.
But it's normal because it's just, it's an interest. Yeah. Like, you know, and thankfully I still have like friends from high school who now find all of this hilarious, but
I find it very endearing, Sam.
I know.
I mean, I'm really into reading books about evolution.
Yeah, she is. She gave me a book rec the other day.
It makes me feel safe. Because I'm like, look how hard and awful it was
when Eve was around.
When we were just monkeys.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, Sam, can you tell us more about your internal checklist? Because I think that would be helpful for people.
Yeah. So I think something when it'll come up is when I'm like trying to arrange a meeting with someone or scheduling my clients.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something that I had to realize was for a while I was like really building up my practice, I was a little too flexible.
Yeah.
Like I was doing really early mornings and really late nights on the same day.
Yes.
And I would have them like spread out all over Kingdom Come because someone was like, well, like 7 a.m. works for – or 9 a.m. works for me. But like this other person was like, well, 6 p.m. works for me. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, okay. And then someone would be like, well, I can do like noon and 1. Mm-hmm. And so it was like scattered all over the place.
Yeah.
And – or people would say like, well, I have – like Thursday is the day that works best for me. And I would already have like 6 on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I would be like, well, like I'll just – I can like squeeze in – number 7, like it's fine.
Yeah.
And so for me, I had to recognize like that wasn't working.
Yeah.
And so what I started asking myself was, what am I afraid of here? Like when they say to me, now again, also if you are a client of mine listening, I hold you not responsible for this in any way, shape or form.
Yeah.
This is me. This is, was like my internal struggle. But if we, when we would get to the end of the session and we would schedule, I would say, and I'd be like, okay, what works for you?
Yeah.
And they would throw something out.
Yeah.
If what they threw out didn't work.
Yeah.
I would find myself finding a way to make sure that it worked.
Yeah.
Because I was afraid that if I wasn't flexible, they would fire me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I realized like, well, first of all, that's not fair to my skills.
Yeah.
And also that's not fair to them. Yeah. Like I'm putting on them kind of this like concept of like, oh, they're going to like stop. Like,
well, I think you're highlighting something really important too, Sam, that we didn't discuss.
Yeah.
That when we just bend over backwards and say yes and then feel resentful, like people are frustrated.
Yes.
They're like, I didn't know that you were frustrated. I would have been fine with this.
Yes.
And we're like, we assume that we know what other people want.
Yes.
A lot of times. Or we assume that we're a bother. We assume rather than, and I think it creates this interesting thing that I talk a lot about where it's like no one is responsible for themselves, but they're responsible for other people. Like, you don't tell people what you want, but you assume that you know what other people want.
Right.
And instead, what we all need to do is just say what we want.
And ask other people what they want.
And then see if it works out. And if not, then we can negotiate.
Yeah.
And figure it out. Where I think there's a ton of assuming that happens with people pleasing. Because we really doubt people's also ability. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like patronizing in some ways sometimes that we doubt that someone can work with us.
Yeah.
Or we doubt that someone can't handle how we feel or think.
Right. That they are willing to be flexible too. Like that they can make things work. They have just as much space as I do, right? And so the checklist that I had was I realized like, okay, I'm feeling stress and tension now at this mm-hmm. request.
Yep.
Why?
Yeah.
What am I feeling like fearful of? Does this request actually work for me? Mm. Yes. Great. We do it and move on. If no, what is the next suggestion that I can throw out that mm-hmm. is kind of in the window of what they wanted, but also benefits me more? Mm-hmm. Right. And now I've been able to kind of like narrow down my schedule into something that I like and something
and that is sustainable for you long term. Cause that's the other thing, right?
Yeah.
We do these things sometimes that are not sustainable.
Right.
Get resentful.
Right.
And then we have to like, leave a relationship or mm-hmm. do something dramatic because we're mm-hmm. like, this doesn't work for me. And meanwhile, the other person is like, I had no idea.
Yeah, that this was a problem.
Right.
And the bitterness, I'm so glad you brought up like the bitterness and kind of resentment component because I think so many people who are people pleasers walk around pissed.
Yeah.
And they can't figure out why they're so angry.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're angry because you keep betraying yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're angry at everybody for not reading your mind.
Yes. Exactly.
And that is not fair.
Yeah.
Like that's not fair behavior. It is unfair to yourself and it is unfair to the people around you because everybody is being set up for failure.
Yes.
Everybody, including you, when you feel afraid to communicate what you need, be honest about where you're at, let people in the loop of what you are feeling and how things are going for you. Everybody is set up for like catastrophe.
Yeah.
Because nobody knows where anybody actually stands.
Right.
Everybody around you thinks you're fine and they're like, geez, why are they in such a bad mood? Like every time I ask if they're okay, they just tell me I'm fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And then you're like, God, like, how can you not see through me, like, slamming things and shutting this and getting mad and not talking to you? Like, how can you not see through these passive-aggressive behaviors that there's something wrong?
Right. Yeah. I think the passive-aggressiveness is a good point also mm-hmm. of sort of, like, signs that you may be struggling
uh-huh.
with this as well. And I think what we keep circling around, too, is people-pleasing can be a trauma response.
Yep.
It can be a bunch of other things. And unfortunately, we are responsible for how our behavior impacts other people.
Yep.
And I mean, you don't have to change. We'll never tell you what you have to do.
Right.
But it, like, people pleasing also, like, I think we get very focused on people pleasing is so hard for the people pleaser. And that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also negative impacts to other people
mm-hmm.
around that person
mm-hmm.
as well that are important to talk about that I think are really missed on social media.
You can't hold people accountable for things they didn't know that they did.
Yes.
That's just not fair because you are not – and I've had this conversation sometimes with people where they're really upset with someone about something or really frustrated or hurt. And rightfully so. Like the reasons are absolutely 100% valid. And then I'll follow up with like, well, so what did they say when you told them? And they're like, well, I didn't say anything.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, okay, so how are we going to fix this then?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, well, I guess I just have to get over it. And it's like,
How's
that worked for you?
Yes.
And there's absolutely space to like, quote unquote, let something go. right? Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely, part of this process is learning to release things that aren't yours to own.
Yeah.
Yet, if you find yourself like circling back to the same problem, but you're not communicating to the person that has been causing the problem, mm-hmm. you are remaining in a self-fulfilling prophecy that you're upset about something and then it happens again, but then you're upset that it's happened, but then it's happened again, but then you're upset that it's happened, but then it happens again. And so you have to be willing, especially if we're talking about like this through like a conflict lens, mm-hmm. you have to be willing to allow other people the chance to repair with you.
Yes.
You cannot assume how they will respond. You cannot assume what they will say. You can't like argue with them in the shower in your head for days on end. You have to give them the chance to live up to the standards that you are wanting to hold them to. But they have to know what the standards are.
Yeah. And if you try a bunch of times,
yes.
or there's abuse going on, yes. there's other things, yes, then for sure, we're not going to say you have to confront every single person.
Right.
But yeah, I completely agree. I kept thinking as you were saying that, Sam, of your famous question of how am I contributing to this dynamic?
How am I contributing to this dynamic? It's a legitimate question. And that is a question for my fellow people pleasers. And this is hard. And I hope through us like sharing our stories and getting like a little bit personal, you could see just how complex this is. Mm-hmm. And that if it is feeling complex within you, that's because it is, and that's mm-hmm. okay. And maybe like you got hit straight on the head as soon as the episode started and you were like, oh yeah, that makes sense. But if you didn't and it's taken some time for you to kind of unwind this, that's okay. Like, this is a lot.
Yeah. You know, I'll close by saying, I don't know if any of you have seen the viral TikTok post of, rightly so, someone bringing up a good point about, you know, everyone who says they're a people pleaser, are you actually pleasing
yeah.
the person?
Are you actually pleasing?
Because I do think on one level, as people pleasing has become a more popular topic, maybe yeah. some people are weaponizing the term mm-hmm. and considering mm-hmm. themselves a people pleaser when they're not.
Right.
And on the other hand, if you're avoiding conflict so much, if you're not allowing someone to get to know you, as we were talking about, mm-hmm. if you're resentful of them, if you're being passive aggressive, that isn't pleasing to them either.
No. Yeah. If you are like angry that they're not picking up on the way you're walking or the way you're responding to them or the way you're not responding to them.
Yeah. yeah.
Or, you know, like kind of getting pissy, like in the kitchen or in the bathroom or whatever, like that's problematic.
Yep.
And just say what you gotta say.
And we will be there, you know, holding your hand. You can imagine us holding your
in
hand.
In spirit.
Yes. But it gets easier. It yep. gets better. Like exposure does work.
Yes.
Systematically starting to practicing saying no, practicing yep. not saying I'm sorry, practicing yep. speaking up, yep. writing down what you wanna say. Practicing it, even saying it out loud in front of the mirror to get mm-hmm. used to the words coming out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
It does help.
If Amanda could go into Wawa and look them right in the face and be like, I stole from you guys. I promise you can go communicate your needs and have those conversations that you've been putting off and express yourself and all that.
Well, this was a great episode, Sam. Thank you all for listening. And as always, we want to hear from you.
Yes.
You can email us at info@therapyforwomencenter.com or you can call us at 813-444-8683.
And again, if you haven't already, please rate, review, subscribe, share, anything that you can do to get the word out. It means the world to us and it's how we can keep this little podcast chugging along in yep. the world.
Yeah. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.